I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 445. Journey cosplay will be a big boon for scarf makers.
Fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister
and I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey there,
how you doing?
I'm doing a-okay.
That's good. It's good when people are doing good. I'm doing great.
Are you really?
I am. It's been a good week, you know, lots of good news out there. Got my hands on some fun games. I played something other than Destiny.
Oh, really?
Like, legit.
I'm surprised.
Legit. You know, so, I mean, the weather's been nice here in Massachusetts. I got nothing to complain about, really.
It's summertime, that's for sure.
I got nothing to complain about. My world is pretty decent right now.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. So, now that all the pleasantries are out of the way, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about on this podcast. We got some game stuff to talk about.
Some old, some new, some here, some there.
Yeah, just a little bit. Got a little anime we might throw up in the mix, time permitting. So it's a good time to be listening to this podcast. If you got yourself a Frosty Bev, now's a good time to take a sip of it. I have already had a couple of Frosty Bevs.
Oh, a couple? That's why you're having a good day.
I'm having a real good day. So, let's start talking about what we got to talk about. Now, last time, correct me if I'm wrong, you went first.
I did.
And we have a common topic to talk about today. So, I think I'm going to start there. And then we'll kind of meander into the extra stuff you've got. And then, time permitting, I will close out this show with a random anime that I've been watching.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a plan? Doesn't that sound like a great plan?
Great plan.
So let's start with Journey on the PS4.
Yes, please.
Okay. So we have talked about Journey a multitude of times over the nearly decade now.
Has it been out that long?
No. I was going to say over the decade now that we've been doing this podcast.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because,
nearly a decade, you know. We have talked about it multiple times since it came out. We've used it as the barometer to which we have measured and held up other games a multitude of times. You know, I know that we've said, you know, it reminds me of Journey, or if it was just a little bit more like Journey in, like, this mechanic or that mechanic, many, many times. That game company has made some of the most enjoyable games of my gamer history, life, whatever you want to call it. I loved Flow.
I didn't play Flow. No, I didn't play Flower, but I played
You didn't play
Flow.
Exactly. I was about to say, you did play Flow.
Yeah, you made me.
Because I made you play it, and then you're like, okay, I need to own this. And then when you finished visiting my place, because it was down in Virginia, when you went home, it was the first
thing. I was like, I have to get this.
And then we would tell each other for months, like, how deep we had gotten with, and how long we had gotten our creature in the game.
Long and deep.
How deep and long. How deep is your love of Flow? Very. Flower is the only one that neither of us played. I was
now,
really excited.
Just like a bunch of leaves from a flower?
I believe so. I don't know. Because, like I said, it's the only game that they've done that I have not played. And I really horribly did not do my homework and check out the one game I didn't play because I was so obsessed with the ones I did. Like, I played Flow every day, I'm not joking, for like 6 months because it was such a phenomenal way when I came home from work to decompress. Even though the mechanics seemed very simple, the game itself was actually a very complex puzzle to get through as you started to get into deeper levels. And the music and the ambiance that it created was just so relaxing. So even though you were taxing your mind while playing the game, it was still so very relaxing. It really was my happy place for months. And then some of the games popped up and I started blowing up people and I started getting a little bit better with FPSs and figuring out how to jerry-rig sensitivity so I could actually play them because of my bad wrist. And then I became an FPS girl for a while. Then Journey happened on the PlayStation 3 and I became obsessed with that game. I love the mechanics. If you're not familiar with the game, you are a character on a journey and you can encounter other players, one other player at a time, who is also on the journey and at the same point of the journey as you are. So you have other players ad hoc jump in and jump out of your game.
Yep. And it's flawless. It's completely flawless. So you never know when so-and-so has left the game or so-and-so has joined your game. Like, it's never like that.
Yeah, you don't get an overt notification. What will happen is sometimes you will see them float by you, or you will see a white light
on the side of your screen
and then realize that there's a character behind you. So it is a seamless integration of multiplayer, basically. And the person that jumps into your game, or if you're the person jumping into somebody else's game, because the game never tells you whether or not you're the person joining or you've been joined, it also doesn't show you their screen name.
Nope, you have no idea who you're playing with, and communication is literally limited to as it's been put to me, and I'm not sure if you feel the same way, like a chirp, like a bird chirp.
It very much is kind of like a bird call, like a chirp, that your character does. So your character, the face is not defined. It kind of looks like a very simplified Jawa, if you're a Star Wars fan. So you are cloaked in a robe, and you have a dark face. The only features that you can see on the face clearly are eyes. Everything else is covered.
And the headband. You have a gold headband that goes.
And you have a headband. And you have robes, and you have different symbols on your robes. So every character has a different symbol that when you jump into the game at random, you are assigned. And that is a symbol that you will see appear constantly on your robe and also be the symbols that run down your scarf. So as you progress in the game, basically you explore as you're on a journey towards this light at atop of a mountain that is off far in the distance. And as you progress through the game, there are various points, if you explore enough areas, that you'll find little glowing light symbols that, once you touch them, extend the length of your cape.
Your little scarf thing that allows you to jumpy, fly, float thing.
Yes, yes.
Whatever that verb is.
Yes. Glide, fly, because you jump, glide. Well, I
mean, you jump and then you can you billow a little bit in the wind. Maybe it's like a billowing. A parachuting.
You do, in fact, act as a leaf on the wind. Because you rise a little bit and then you start to fall. So you can't stay suspended in air forever. But you need to use this glide effect in order to reach new areas and ultimately traverse the area to make it to the end of the level and then proceed to the next area to continue on your journey. And there are various things that you will unlock as you progress through levels. Like I said, there are the light emblems that you collect that extend the length of your scarf, which extends your ability to glide, float, fly thing.
Billow. Okay, you choose billow. Your verb.
All right, fine. I'll go with billow. That allow you to billow. There are various points that you have to basically do a summoning call, which is the holding of the circle button. Yeah. That allow you to open certain boxes that will release kind of free-floating scarves that you can then call to summon to basically give you a boost so that you can reach higher areas. And then there are also pictographs that are hidden throughout the level that give you a little piece of history of the story, because there is no verbal communication.
Absolutely none.
Even when you drop into someone's game or someone drops into your game, you do not have voice chat. So you cannot communicate with them other than to use this in-game chirp system and direct your character in a way to try and get their attention to what you want them to focus on. And what's interesting when you play the game is that mechanic, while it sounds like it would be something completely frustrating because we're so used to using voice chat to be like, all right, so I'm going to take point, you're going to go over here, I'm going to go over there. There's something that is so relaxing and interesting and also kind of second nature to not overly verbalize what it is and realize very quickly when someone starts chirping very fast that they want your attention because they found something. And so you know immediately that, oh, if they're chirping, I should go over there. And right. It's not even a, oh, I need
or to figure it out. Or it's not even necessarily just because they want you over there, but they also might be at that point not near anything that will regenerate their scarf. So they may, because the great thing about this collaborative system is that if you're around another character, the minute you are close enough that you're touching, you guys will regenerate your energy in your scarves.
Correct, because as you use the billow effect, you burn up and use up symbols on your scarf, and so once they're out, you can just only normal jump. You can't reach higher heights or glide. And so it is very important and doesn't keep you from completing the game, but makes it a lot easier to complete various levels if you, in fact, can go the journey with a friend or not alone.
You actually do get a trophy/achievement for completing the game with somebody. And that's all the way to the end. That's even going through the entire cutscene at the end, the credits, and the restart of the start screen.
Yes. Unfortunately for me, my first playthrough through Journey on the PlayStation 3, I did not travel all levels with someone. So it wasn't until my third playthrough that I finally got that trophy. I've yet to get that on the PlayStation 4 version, which at the time of this podcast recording, I've played twice and plan to play many, many, many more times for sure. Because like I said, it is very much my happy place. There's something very cathartic, and there's also, because I'm also at a different point in my life than when I played Journey originally, there's a lot of themes that I inherently now pick up in a more adult and sophisticated way when you start thinking about what it is that you're actually doing in the game. So I'm going to ruin it for a bunch of people, but I'm really not, because when you experience it for yourself, everyone, I think, experiences Journey a little bit differently.
I think so, too.
And so basically the journey that you are on is traveling towards this light at the top of the mountain. And there are some enemies that you have to avoid that will do damage to your scarf and basically take your light and keep you from being able to reach the light. If you are successful and complete your journey, which the last piece of the journey is very emotionally taxing.
Yes, it is.
It's not difficult. It is not difficult.
No. But it's actually pretty much a walk. You are walking.
It is a straight walk. That is all you're doing. But it is emotionally, I think, draining if you're invested in the game at all. And there are points in the first time that I played the game that I did, in fact, cry.
Oh, I after I re-downloaded it when for the PS4, I literally woke up early morning and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this and just see how much I retained. Because, I mean, I went after all of the achievements on my PS3. Yeah. So, believe it or not, I'm going to be doing the exact same thing.
Surprise, surprise.
Right here on the PS4. It's going to happen. It's just a fate that I accept wholeheartedly. I mean, I've already kind of started that grind. Like, I already got my white cloak already. I've already gotten all my designs. And that's also another interesting thing, is that you don't have any dramatic or instant or auto saves in this game. Like, you can go back to the chapter select area initially after you've played your first playthrough. But you can tell seasoned players from not seasoned players by the designs on the cloak. So it's a very intimate, subtle thing, as opposed to having save files like clutter up your space. Like, it's a simple way of saying, hey, this isn't my first rodeo.
Right.
this isn't my first journey.
Right.
Which I think is amazing. But yep, I have my white cloak, which if you don't know, if you collect all of the glowy glyphs, you will, one, get an achievement for that. Called Transcendence, I think is what it is. And when you go to your chapter select in your next game, there's a little area that has some cloth that's white. And when you walk over it, you become white. And literally, you have the same designs on your cloak. It's just that your scarf now regenerates its glyphs. So you're going to still want to collect the glyphs during your journey, but you don't have to worry about spending them all the time because you will, in fact, recuperate them.
Yes, which... I missed several glyphs on my first run through. There were quite a few that I don't remember where they were.
Right.
So
I know where they all are.
I missed like three. So I missed.
Well, the thing is, when you go back to the when you go to the chapter select area, that area that has the blue, the white ribbons, when you get your white suit, there are these little tombstone-y things that are near them, and they are pretty much, if you go from the bottom up, that's the level, and it will tell you which one you're missing.
Yeah, I know the ones that I miss, because when you reach the end of a level, you basically reach an altar that you meditate in front of, and a chunk of the history of the journey that you are on and those that went before you on the journey experienced flashes before you, basically. And so you get to pick up the story of the journey that you're on. But when you first sit to meditate in front of the statue, in order to have that happen, at the bottom of the statue, it will show you how many glyphs were in the level, and it will light up how many glyphs you got. So you'll be able to tell right before you get up to then leave the level, if you choose to, how many glyphs you're missing. So before you continue on to the next step of your journey, you do have the option to go back into that level and try to find those glyphs that you missed. So you don't even have to wait to do it in your Game Plus play if you don't want to do that. So there were a couple of levels where I'm like, oh man, yeah, I did miss some. Let me go back and see if I can find them. Like the floating lantern level, when I got to the end and meditated, I had only picked up one of the four that was in there, and I was like, there's no way I missed four in here. How is that possible? And I went back through, and I floated all the way down to the bottom of the light and went, okay. Well, I ran into the flow character, so I got the trophy for that.
And I love the subtleties of, hey, these are other games that we've done that we're going to incorporate in this. Like,
yes.
I loved when I found the flower in the desert. And yeah. I mean, it's not even like the most simple of path. Like, it's a desert. Like, there are dunes. It's not like, hey, by the way, it's this little itty bitty 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 flower.
And it's so funny because when I started the game, I was like, okay, so let me see how much I remember from the previous game, because it is an exact port that has brought across into high definition, so they've changed nothing about the game. So the patterns are the same, where things are exactly the same from the original game. So I was like, I remember that after I get the pictogram directly to the right, I come back and I get the first glyph to make my scarf long, and then I book it hard right between tombstones, and then continue going right, and I'll crest like two dunes, and when I crest the second dune, the flower, and I was like, sure enough, the flower should be right, boom, there's the flower. So I got the trophy for the flower, I got the trophy for encountering the character from Flo.
The Flofish thing. Yep,
which is a historically legend trophy or something like that. So I went back through a couple of the levels to find glyphs I was missing. One of the glyphs I was missing was the first big level that you encounter enemies, which is down in the dark, and the only light that is hitting you is actually moonlight. And I remembered that my quick and easy way through all of it was that I hugged the wall on the left.
Oh, when you first encounter the guardian.
Yes.
A living guardian, I should say, because there's dead guardian bodies everywhere.
And so I remember.
And I love how it's slowly hinting that that's the threat to you. Like, at first, when you first play, you're like, oh, these are just rocks that happen to have threads in them. And then when you see it alive, you're like, oh, crap. Those are just dead bodies that have, like, hurt other travelers like myself.
Yep.
Like, it's so deep.
Yeah, and the first time that you get, like, the ominous feeling is when you go to the place in the desert where they're assembling guardians.
Yeah.
But they don't stay
in the Sunken City,
live.
I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. And that's the first place that I miss glyphs.
There's two there, so yeah.
I only got one. So that was the first one that I missed. And then because I hugged the wall on the left in the deep guardian
level. You missed
level,
the one that was in the...
That I missed the one that is in the crate, we'll call it, that you can hide in if you head to the right. But I hugged to the left. And it's really funny because that's one of the places that I bounced into another traveler. And I started to walk towards the right and they started mad chirping at me and went to the left. So I was like, oh, you know the trick about going to the left too. And so we just stayed on each other's tails. But I was so upset. I'm like, but your scarf is so much longer than my scarf. At which point, my husband started laughing at me because I had my headphones on so he couldn't hear the game. And I was just talking about someone having a longer scarf than me.
Well, it's like, really funny because, like, when you... I've noticed since I've been playing, and I've spent a chunk of even today just replaying things over and over again in it. And, I mean, I know where everything is. And right now, like I said, I have my white robes and I have my long scarf. But I'm not trying to brag because I'm that kind of person that I'm playing this game to help people who I encounter. So when I meet someone who's got a shorter scarf than me, and it's just because, I mean, there's a lot of people who are playing this game who play it at all in PS3 land. So I'm like, oh, you should come over here and do this. And, oh, you should come over here and do this. And, I mean, granted, I can't verbally say that to this person, but here I am mashing my little chirp. Here I am spinning around in circles. Follow me. Follow me. I know my shit. You know, like, it's a great way of forcing people to be cooperative without people having to be nasty about it.
It's a coming very from the purest positively, way. A positively cooperative, almost against your own will. If you co-op in this game at all, it is nothing but positivity. You don't have a way to put another character in harm's way. You don't have a way to put them
down.
Actually,
that's not entirely true.
I said you don't have a real way. You can kind of, if you push people enough, especially in the guardian areas, you can push somebody out to being seen. But you really have to be a hard dick. And also, as another player, you have to also not be paying attention
It happened to me as I was finishing up a game. A person in a white robe, which, I mean, I even put this on my Facebook because I was pretty upset at this person. And they're like, you know, we're going through that area that the harsh wind is coming. So, like, you have to hide either in something or behind something tall so that you don't get pushed back. Mm-hmm. And, like, I knew the pattern. So I'm like, I'm kind of minding my own business. But the person didn't walk all the way through. So the guardian saw me. And it bit my scarf, and I was so sad. And then, like, he's, like, chirping at me, and, like, to have him follow, like, it was my fault, and it wasn't, but it's not like I could correct him. But then he was like, you know, he went to that last one right before that big pull before you get to the gate, before you're no longer in that area. Mm-hmm. And, like, he just went for a mad dash, and I'm like, nope, bad idea. Shouldn't have done that. And sure enough, the guardian came and... Now, the thing that sucked about it, though, is that when you have your blue robes and you have your long scarf, even if a guardian bites you, you don't lose anything because you're kind of in a new game plus, kind of.
Right.
And I also noticed during the very end, during that very dramatic part that's happening when you're walking up the snow, they don't lose their scarf as fast as a regular.
Correct. White robes do not lose their scarves as fast. So they can.
Like, what the hell?
So ultimately, people that have a white scarf can, in fact, traverse the snow a little bit longer.
Not by much, though.
Not by much. The journey still ends the same way for everyone.
And it's the most beautiful thing. Like, you go through all that suffering. And I mean, I wish that they would talk a little bit more about the lore and the mythos of it, because, like, you don't know who the big white guardians are, except you know that they're the ancestors who came before you. Like, yeah, you know that. But, like, why are they following you? Like, why are you chosen to then, obviously, spoiler alert, when you get to the top of the mountain, you pretty much just become like a star or a glyph, essentially, and you fly back through everything that you've encountered, and you touch back down in the sand, and you either start over again or you don't.
Well, there's a couple of theories about that, because it's not necessarily that you, who finished the journey, become that star. There are thoughts out there that there's a scene that you see where there's a light that appears on one of the tombstones, and And the theory is that you have reached the end of your journey and so been marked on a stone. And because you were able to traverse so many things and reach the end of your journey, a new traveler is now created. And that's the star that shoots from the top of the mountain and travels back across all the lands that you just traversed to begin their journey. And so it's that you become the force that creates a new traveler to travel and make their own path and make their own journey so that it is a new, different person.
Oh!
Theoretically. So that's one thought that's out there. Because there is that scene where right before the star happens that there's a focus on a tombstone, basically.
Right, yes, and that's right.
That light that's emblazoned. And so that's a thought that's out there. And I kind of like that thought that was out there. You know, I went through my struggles and my travails. And yes, I did, because I got tired, try to make the blazon run. I thought I had the timing right, and I was wrong.
Nope.
And I got hit by a guardian. And so I lost a piece of my case. And I was like, no, no. And I got really emotional. But I made it through the door. I didn't lose all of my cape. And as I made it through the door, the other person that I was traveling with, who had a longer cape, was walking. And my cape started getting brittle because they kept walking away from me. So we couldn't keep each other lit enough that our scarves wouldn't get brittle. So my scarf started breaking, and I couldn't move fast enough to catch up to the guy.
Yeah, I hate that.
To stop my scarf from being brittle.
We're on this journey together. Don't leave.
I'm like, and you're leaving me. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, don't come back. I need you. And so I'm like chirping like mad, but when you're in the cold winter weather area,
your chirps are don't resonate or don't spread as fast.
And they're not as loud or bright.
Yeah, so it's really kind of hard too. You know. Yeah.
So finally I got this guy's attention and he came back. But at that point, my scarf had basically gone back to the size that it was when we started. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to walk up the snow for shit. Thanks, guy.
But I mean, I definitely agree with the whole, the essence and the purity and the positivity that this game does portray. Because I mean, I've had people who, because at the very end of the game, you will get a list of all the people that you've encountered on your journey, and people will go through that list, and I've been reached out by several people who were like, thank you for helping me, like helping me figure this out and that out, like I had no idea.
Journey was the first game that happened to me on the PlayStation 3, by the way.
I was like, probs, Bob.
Because if you complete a piece of the journey at the same time with someone, when you start the next leg, as long as they haven't quit the game, you will actually be traversing that level with them. You don't know it unless you're really, really keen and pay attention to the symbols that are on their cape. And so it's only if one of you hop out that you get paired up with somebody else. So there are times where you will have a long list of people that you've met on your journey, and there are times where you will go on a journey probably with the same person for most of the levels. And there have been rare occasions that someone has started a journey with somebody and actually completed the whole journey with that same person, because it doesn't take long to complete a journey. In all honesty, unless you're really traversing everything, you can complete a journey in under 2 hours.
Yep. Oh, it's easy.
Very easy. But it's not the same experience as if you actually traverse most of the world, because it is a completely open world.
Yep. Every level is completely everything
open. And so you can spend hours in a level without completing that journey to move on to the next area if you want, and explore everything in it. If you so choose. And that's another thing that I love about the game. You know, there's nothing that I can say that's bad about Journey. If you've never played it before, it's $14.99 on the PlayStation Store. And a lot of people are like, wow, that's really expensive for the game. And I'm like, no, it's not, considering how high the replay value is of this game. Not at all. Because you will play Journey, unless you are really a stick in the mud, at least 3, if not 4 times. And when you think about that, you're talking now less than $350 a play. That's basically one round of Street Fighter in an arcade. Like, come on. It's completely, completely worth it. And it's a strikingly beautiful game. between the audio, the environments, the gameplay mechanics themselves. It's just a gorgeous experience. And I think that it's also something that is very unique right now, especially on console gaming. You know, I think that Journey is probably one of the games where if you were to point to what a success of a small, independent feeling type game would be, even though it's not an independent game, because that game studio created it, and they're not indie.
Nope.
They started that way, but they created some great things, and somebody was like, come here, we'd like to be family with you.
Hey, pal.
So the game was put out by Santa Monica Studios. But if you were to point, if I was to say, like, here's what the gold standard of what an independent game could be and a unique experience on console could be, Journey is definitely it. I think a little bit more so than Flow. Because Flow, I don't think, is accessible for all people.
I don't think so either. I mean, I enjoyed it, and it was very relaxing, but I didn't jump in. I don't think they gave me enough lore for me personally as a gamer to want to, like, dig deep and figure stuff out. I'm like, okay, I'm...
You're a fish. I'm a fish. I grow, and sounds happen. I shrink. Other sounds happen, and I must grow, and I must find ways to grow and be, and I'm an EDM fish, and that's pretty much Flow.
Yeah, that's about it.
Whereas Journey, there is a lot of lore, and there is a lot of speculation, and there's a lot of questions that you have about your journey and the next journey that you take after that. You know, I remember the first time that you jumped in, because you can get to the stage select from the beginning of the game. You don't have to complete the game to get to the stage select, because you accidentally jumped directly to the end when you first played it at my house.
I
think
I was playing your... Because I didn't have...
Nope, we started a save game because I didn't want you playing Plus on mine.
So I pretty much showed up in the snow level with the littlest of little capes. And I was what am I supposed to do? And you're like...
And I was like, you're not supposed to be there. And Mom laughed.
Was too quick for my taste.
Yep.
First time around.
Because you can, when you first come into the game, there's a sand spot that you meet after you traverse and find the flower and a couple of the symbols to extend your scarf. You drop into an area that basically has all of these platforms and doors in front of you. And you can go into any of them at any point in time. And those are, in fact, the level selects outside of going to the level select from the menu, if you choose to go to the menu. And you can jump to the really, really wrongest place, because you definitely want to play the first two levels before you do any kind of jumping around.
Yeah!
But it's an absolute gorgeous thing, and I think what I like most is that when you have the epiphany moment in the game, and you're basically rising in the light and swimming among all the various different creatures
that you've already encountered on your journey. You've touched all of those types of things.
And again, another theory, they're all creatures that completed the journey before you and helped pave the way. And that's why some of them are different shapes, and because they're older incarnations.
Actually, no, that makes sense, because at the end, when you're the star is traveling past certain places, there are certain pieces of fabric and stuff that are growing longer.
Mm-hmm.
In like that one area that has like the jellyfish, fabric jellyfish.
Yep. And you also pass and you see other characters that are on the journey, and they're actually in real time characters that are in fact on their journey. So there are times, if you actually take time to look up and stop from your journey, you will actually see other stars that have been shot from the mountain traveling. So when you have finished your journey and a star is traveling back, those travelers that you see are live travelers who are at that point in their journey. They're not just NPCs there for beauty. And I think that's a really, really sweet way to tie it in, that the journey never ends. Everyone is constantly on a journey.
I feel like it talks a lot deeper.
It's such a deep, deep game for being such a simple game. And I was so, so stoked to hear that it was getting an HD update and was going to be out on PlayStation 4, because in all honesty, it's one of the games that I miss the most playing from my PlayStation
Well, now we all have it. Yay!
The series one. And what I thought was a brilliant, brilliant thing for Sony to do was that people who previously purchased the game did not have to repurchase it.
I mean, granted, I probably would have done it still.
I would have. I would have grumbled a little bit. The price wasn't bad. I would have grumbled a little bit. But if you bought it for the PlayStation 3, you were able to re-download the game and just jump right into it. So you did not have to rebuy it. And I think that for a lot of games that are just getting a straight port with an HD upgrade, I think that that's a really good way to go. To keep your existing installed base interested, especially in the wake of how Xbox is treating their backwards compatibility, I feel like this should be a model that Sony also adopts for games so that, hey, if you purchased this previously through our digital store, you can just have it again when we do this port. Or if it's a massive game, because Journey is not a massive game.
No.
It doesn't take up a lot of space. It barely took up 2 gigs of space to install it on my PS4. Perfectly fine. Not a massive game. I don't think that you could necessarily scale that kind of system for a game that originally retailed for $60 that is a 48 gig download. You know, somebody's got to pay for that bandwidth. Somebody's got to pay for that space. Somebody's got to pay for the time and the effort that went into that port. You know, I think that for those, maybe it is a half off. So, hey, you bought this before. If you want it again digitally, we know that you bought it through the store. You can get a deep discount on it if you want to have it again, if you want to play it again. Because you didn't have to. You know, people who bought Journey before did not have to download it again to play it on their PlayStation 4. But man, oh man, if you bought the game and you played it on a PlayStation 3, I can't imagine that you would not want to play it on your PlayStation 4 because it has lost absolutely nothing. And like I said, because I'm older now than I was when I played it on my PlayStation 3, I'm at a different place in my life than I was when I played it on the PlayStation 3. The game, it definitely affects me differently this go-round than it did when I played it when I was younger. You know, it is much more profound to me than
it had a very significant impact.
I'm not gonna lie, I cried again. I'm not gonna lie, okay? I cried again. But it was a beautiful cry. It wasn't a sad cry. And you need those sometimes.
I agree.
So I tip my hat to that game company. I thank Santa Monica Studios and that game company and Sony for working to do this beautiful, beautiful port. Because let me tell you, Journey on a, for me at least, larger TV running at 1080p is absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous, yes. I cannot help but agree.
So that's the shared topic. Panda.
Yes.
If you have any other things that you would like to say about Journey, now would be the time.
There's so many things that I could say about this game. I mean, I could pick this apart until the cows come home. But I definitely feel like this is a game that if you haven't experienced it, you will come away with something a little bit more tangible. That can, it's going to relate to whoever you are for different reasons. Like, I mean, I remember playing it because you kind of threw a controller in my hand and was like, you need to try this game out. And then immediately I had to go and buy it because it had to be a part of my existence. And I just remember getting so into it. And I wanted to cosplay as a journeyer. I wish I sewed, but I don't. So that wasn't going to happen. But if you haven't experienced this, do it. Do it, do it, do it.
One thing that I hope happens again, now that it's been re-released on the PlayStation 4, there's going to be more people playing the game that didn't have experience or exposure to the game on the PS3 realm, because maybe they didn't even have a PS3. Maybe PlayStation 4 is their first Sony system. I'm hoping that now with the reemergence of the game on the newer consoles, that we'll start to see more Journey cosplay. Because I remember the year that it came out when we went to PAX East that year, there was Journey cosplay everywhere. For like two PAXes, and then it started to go away, and then it completely disappeared. But I remember it was so cool to see people with, like, trying to run down different hallways to have their scarves flapping. And there was one person that we thought did an amazing job because they made a Velcro scarf so they could walk into one of their friends who was a glyph, and then they would Velcro on an additional
yep, I remember that
scarf and then run. And I was like, that is a lot of effort and forward-thinking thought. And I can't remember if we got a picture with them or not. I don't think that we did. But I would love to see more Journey cosplay. Yes, when we went to BFIG the first year, they had one of the developers come and talk about creating the game and the lore that went into it and some of the things that they wanted to accomplish with the game, and how humbled they were by the outpouring of people, like, creating websites to share their theories of what happened and, you know, for every level, what each pictograph meant and was trying to display, and even breaking down all the flashbacks that the ancestors gave.
Or, like, giving to every time you have, you sit at the altar.
Correct. And how the flashbacks are not flashbacks so much as looks at your journey. Because when you play the game, what it is showing you is the journey yet to come and the journey that you've done. And when you reach the end, it shows you the entirety of your journey in pictograph, and any level where you didn't do the journey alone, you'll see that there are two travelers, not one.
Yeah. I always love that. I'm like, oh yeah.
So deep. So good. And, you know, I know that I said this the first time we talked about Journey, but it's really too. I would love to see more games like it. I'm not saying that every game that comes out on the console needs to be this. I'm not saying that every independent developer out there needs to stop working on what they're working on and build on Journey. But man, oh man, I would love to have more games that were cooperative in the way that Journey is cooperative, because it is such a positive cooperative play. Like, I can't wait to go on another journey and find out who I bounce into and, you know, see if I could figure out new ways to get to certain glyphs, or, you know, did I see all the pieces of that pictogram, and do I think that my interpretation of my journey is the correct one versus other people's interpretations of their journeys, you know, and what those are. I can't wait for that. It is a game that rewards curiosity. And a lot of games don't do that. A lot of games lead you by the nose of, here's the story, and here's the next point, and here's the story, and here's the next point, and now the story is done. And that's not a bad thing, okay? Stories need to have beginning, middle, end, and they need to have mechanisms to move you from one place to another. I'm not saying that they don't. But man, oh man, when the pathways to that middle from the beginning flex and are open, not only for interpretation, but for exploration, that's a very exciting thing. And it creates something very, very unique. And I think in a place where a lot of times right now, as we look at games, we feel like, ooh, that's cookie cutter. Like, we explain games of, well, if you take this game and they had a baby, it's that game. You know, there's no, if you take a little bit of this and you put this together with it, you get Journey. You don't.
You don't.
There's no, do this and this, you get Journey. Okay, there's a do this and do Journey and you get this. Take Journey and add some Mario platformer and you get Ico.
Well, I mean, Ico came out before Journey, so that'd be the other way, though.
But this is what I'm saying. But if you take Ico and you put it with, you have to take things out of Ico to make it Journey.
Right.
You know, the cooperative is completely different. And while there is still this kind of incoherent chatter, there is still direction on where to go.
True. You are right.
You know, Journey doesn't have that. So, I can't. True. Ico came out before Journey. But I can still say, take Journey, throw in some platformer, and it's Ico. I don't get to do it the other way. I would have to say, take Ico, throw out the platformer, change the way the cooperative works, then take the scope of the entirety of the game and bring it down to something that you could compete theoretically in 45 minutes if you didn't explore and try to find everything. You just tried to critical path it. Also, completely change the mechanic and the style of the visuals. Amp up the music. Like, there's so many things that I have to say that it becomes a, no, it's not. It's not a, influence on it in that way. And I like that. There, I can't tell you what to put together to make Journey, but I can tell you that there's so many things that if you put it together with Journey, definitely influence the games that surely came after, for sure. And that's a really great place to be, because that means it truly is a unique experience. And a lot of times in the community, we keep crying for, I want something different. I want something new. I don't want just another shooter. I don't want just another platformer. Destiny is definitely not just another platformer. It's not just another puzzle game. It's not a puzzle game with a twist. It is a phenomenal experience. So if you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. I know that Panda does.
Yes. Thumbs up, even big toes up. Like, just do it. Like Shia LaBeouf. You said you were going to do it tomorrow. Just do it. Just do it.
Tomorrow turned into yesterday. Yesterday turned into never. Just do it.
Do it.
Just do it. You know, people talk a lot of shit about Shia LaBeouf. But I know I've talked shit about Shia LaBeouf. But, you know, the dude is passionate. Okay?
That's what we're going to call it? Passion?
You can't take that away from him. Because it's like Kanye level, too. Like, you can't take that away from him. He's passionate. Passion will make you do some dumb shit.
Yeah, like murder people.
Okay? That's like the
higher end. That is the truth.
That's the higher end of it, where it turns into more than just passion. It becomes obsession. I'm talking about passion, okay? Shia LaBeouf is very passionate. Shia LaBeouf is also very young. Shia LaBeouf did some dumb shit. But Shia LaBeouf is very passionate about being creative in whatever forms that takes, okay? And sometimes it's Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull because someone told you, because your agent told you you're going to be cast as Indiana Jones' son, your brain says, fuck yeah, where do I sign? Because Spielberg's doing the movie, and as an actor, you go, Spielberg, I work with Harrison Ford, and I am Indiana Jones' son. That means that the franchise becomes mine. Yes, business-wise, you sign on for that before you even see the script. Then you see the script, and you're like, fuck. Okay? So I don't blame Shia LaBeouf for the turd that is the Crystal Skull. Okay? Well, because if I'm an actor, okay? Because if I'm an actor, and you say, hey, do you want to be Indiana Jones' son in the next Indiana Jones movie that Steven Spielberg's directing? My answer is yes. Can I just put a sock in my pants to pretend to have a dick because I am a girl? But that is the answer. The answer is yes. Now, what do we do about the fact that I'm a girl to make this work? Because the answer is yes. So I don't blame him for that. I blame Spielberg and the writers because that was a turd. Shouldn't have happened. Moving right along. Now, it takes a special kind of person to appear in actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf when you're Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Exactly. Okay? And that it ends with him. Like, that's somebody who could take a joke. That's somebody who respects the creativity of what you're putting on there. And then, you know, you're part of it. Now, his passion has definitely taken him into some crazy places, but he was raised by a hippie. So what do you expect? And even he said that. He's like, my mom's a hippie. Things are kind of loose for me. Okay, cool.
I mean, he was on Even Stevens.
Okay, like
Disney days.
You know, you can't hold too much against him. It's just like Kanye. Okay, Kanye is really, really out there, and Kanye went really, really out there after his mom passed away because Kanye blames himself
for his mama.
Yes, and that is a thing that fucks with you in your sleep and in your head. And he said it. He's like, because if I didn't have the money, my mom wouldn't have gone and tried to have that surgery where she died. So he blames himself and his success for the death of his mom, which, because he's a child of a single parent, that was his world. Because remember, Kanye didn't really go off the fucking deep end until after his mom died.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
All right.
Like, that's, that, you know, we were still college dropout Kanye before that happened.
We were still, my mouth is wired shut because of an accident I was in, Kanye.
Okay, we were Jesus Walks.
Oh, I love Jesus Walks.
And Gold Digger Kanye. Then his mom died and we were beautiful dark fantasy Yeezus. Because he went off the deep end. And I'll be honest with you, if I had that kind of guilt of that my mom was dead because of me and my success, that would fuck with my head. Like a lot. Like a lot.
Super so, lot.
You know, I don't knock the man for that, okay? In the rap game, you need to think that you're the shit, because if you don't think that you're the shit...
No one will think you're the shit.
Exactly, okay? And so Beef is just taking a different form of like, no, I'm the best rapper alive. No, I'm the best rapper alive, because we're not going to shoot each other, and we're not going to create big beef between us, because that's what got Biggie and Tupac killed. So I'm just going to come out here and say that I'm the best.
I'm the best.
Come out here and say that you're the best.
I'm the best.
And I'm just going to keep putting out shit and telling people that I am, in fact, the shit until they either believe me or they call me on it. Okay? And that's just marketing. I don't take it from him. Now, he said some dumb shit in the media. But guess what? Famous people are human beings.
All the time.
They're dumb, just like the rest of us. It's just that they typically have PR people between them and a microphone.
No one should stop saying shit like
to
that.
To stop them. From saying dumb shit. And sometimes when you remove that PR person, your dumb shit gets caught on tape.
Right.
It happens. Okay, so Kanye said some really, really dumb shit. But at the end of the day, he's an extremely creative person. And I don't care what you say. You listen to any Kanye album, even Yeezus, which there are very few tracks on Yeezus that I love.
Did you hear he wants to make a video game?
Yes, he does.
I know. And like, tribute. And
he
like.
He was at E3.
Oh, God. Talking about it?
No, not about it. He was at E3 checking out games and bouncing people out of their appointments because he wanted to get into appointments that he didn't have.
Okay, you can do that.
Right. And so, like, some of our friends at Gamertag got bounced out of a Halo thing because Kanye wanted to see the Halo thing.
I want to touch it. And I'm Kanye West.
And what was really weird about it was that, like, he was trying to be all, like, incognito. So he was wearing, like, a gray hoodie, and he tried to have his hoodie, like, over his face and shit. But he had, like, no exaggeration, like, 17 bodyguards and shit in black suits as the entourage around him. So I'm like, how are you incognito, motherfucker? You're rolling with basically a tank of black people around you.
A black tank.
Okay.
Black tank.
Like, you stand out like a sore thumb. It would have been smarter for you to, like, surround yourself with, like, people in costumes and been in the middle of them because everyone would be like, oh. Shit,
motherfucker. Like, be like Jamie Lee Curtis dressing as freaking Vega at Evo.
Exactly. Like, that's how you get in incognito. Okay, all you had to do was dress up as, like, Static Shock or some shit.
No one would have touched you.
And nobody would have touched you.
Does no one like Static Shock?
Nobody likes Static Shock. Nobody.
And if you do, please, by all means, like what you're gonna like, but, you know, come on. Be real.
But, like, come on. E3, though.
Come on.
So that. You know, so I think that it is a very, very unique game, and if you've never played it before and you have a PlayStation, you owe it to yourself. It's worth the $15.
It absolutely the game. Is. I was prepared to pay it again because it's that.
I was ready to pay for it. I'll be honest with you. If they had come out and said, hey, we've got a 1080p version of Journey on the PlayStation Store right now for $25.99, I would have paid it in a hot second.
Here's my money.
I would have been a little pissed because I'm like, guys, that's like a little expensive because like I don't think the original game was even $25.
No, I don't think it was.
If I remember correctly, I think it was like $17.99 or something like that. And I think
it was on the cheaper side. You're absolutely right.
And it was on the cheaper side, and I think that I'd even picked it up during a PlayStation sale, so it was like even cheaper, if I remember correctly. And you got it for even cheaper than I did. Because I think, if I remember correctly, I gave you electronically funds in your wallet so you could play it when you got home.
I was like, I don't have the money for this.
So I think that I gave you, because that's how bad I wanted you to play it. I think that I gave you money for it electronically and put it into your wallet through the store so that you could buy it. It's that good. It's that good. So do yourself a favor. Play Journey.
Play it. Play it. Enjoy it. Share it with your children.
I'm so glad that I have it on my PlayStation 4.
Me too.
All right, so what else you got, Panda?
So I've been playing a few mobile games lately outside of, because like I said, since Journey came out, I've been playing Journey.
Yep.
And a little Destiny, but mostly Journey.
Yep.
But a friend of mine was playing this game on her phone, and it looked super cute and has pandas in it, so you knew I was down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I was just like, do
it
I have
basically
to pay for it?
Literally had your name on it.
And I was worried because I was like, oh, if it's got money, I'm like, I'm not going to want, but it was for free. So you definitely know I'm all down for the free. And it's it's called Alpha Bear. And it actually came from Spry Fox, which also did another game called Triple Town, and also did a game that you can play on your PS4s or your Xboxes called Road Not Taken, which I bought not realizing that it's from the same company. Because I bought Road Not Taken and played that on my PS4 not too long ago. And I think I wrote a little blip about it because I thought it was super cute. And it was part of the August bundle, I believe. Was it August? It might have been August or September of this year. So it's been out for a while. It's a cute little puzzler, and you're a little wizard, and you wear a cloak and a cape, and you know, you have your torch, and you have to do things a certain way, and you're trying to save children from freezing to death in, you know, the winter because they're lost. Not that I don't know why.
Poor parents lost children.
I don't know why parents would let their kids go into the forest anyway, but it happens. But Alpha Bear is literally this. You are bears, or a bear, and there are little letters.
You're multiple bears?
You will be multiple bears. So the purpose of it is for you to collect all these different types of bears that do these different things. Some challenges require that there's a timer, and there are these letters that are all around your single bear or multiple bears, depending on what the objective is. And you're to come up with words within a certain amount of time. And depending on where you're grabbing the letters, because they literally form like a box around you, and the more letters you use, the more letters will show up. But if you don't use them, they'll grow in different colors. So they start out as green, then they go a little light green, then they become like orange, and then red. And if you haven't used them by the time that they're red, they become stone, and then they're fixated on your map, so you can no longer grow your bear in that direction. So there are bears that have super long foreheads or are really, really, really wide, and they all have different outfits and they all have different abilities. It is addicting. I've only had it for like a day, and I am so word hungry, and I'm not great with words. So I'm sitting like, what words do I know? What words don't I know? Like I'm sitting like, can I spell this? Will this work? And stuff like that. And I mean, it, like I said, it's completely free. You can get it on your Android or you can get it on your iOS device. I don't know if there is a version of it for the iPad. I wish I had known that ahead of time because I probably would have played it on a much bigger screen. But it is fun and a nice relaxing palate cleanser. And if you haven't played Road Not Taken, I would suggest you play that if you like puzzles and if you want to save children. I mean, that's also another reason why you should play it.
I mean, saving children is a good thing to do.
I mean, you could be a dick wizard and never go out into the woods. Like, that is a consequence that happens in that game. You can choose not to be a
dick. Yeah, but you shouldn't really be a dick, though.
Don't be a dick to children. And definitely don't put your dick near children, either.
Yeah, really don't do that. Really don't do that.
Yeah, avoid it if you can.
No, not if you can. Avoid it.
Don't let it graze children.
Just don't.
Don't. but that's what I've been playing. It's cute, it's simple, and I have like six panda bears that all do six different things. And like I've got one who's wearing like a gym outfit and he stretches. So he stretches wide more than tall. So if that's your strategy, you might want to use the stretch bear and stuff like that. There's a four bear, which if you make four-letter words, you get a bonus. There's an easy bear, who when you make easy words, you get a bonus, or it has certain letters in it. It will do that. Like, it's pretty cute, and I have come to enjoy it immensely.
Well, it sounds really cute.
It is. You should check it out.
I feel like I should.
But that's what I've been doing.
Well, cool. That's a bunch.
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing a bunch of things, and mostly playing Journey and Destiny and Batman.
Ah, Batman.
Yeah, I've been playing Arkham Knight. I'm a Batman fan. I love Arkham Knight. I hate the fucking Batmobile. Most of the time when I'm doing things in the Batmobile, I am doing it in the strife mode so I can actually control the car better, which means I can only do like short burst dash because I can't control the damn thing otherwise. So there's that. But I can't
drive well in games generally, so...
This is true. But I have also been watching anime when I'm not playing Journey or Batman or Destiny. It's pretty much where I'm living. And basically, we had started talking about some of the summer series that we have been watching once everything got announced right after E3. But, like, my big thing is I've been checking out, or trying to check out, I should say, series that I wouldn't normally jump into. You know, because I like them either really dark or really, really dumb.
Okay, yep.
That's pretty much where I live. So there's either a lot of action and violence in service of some deep or deep-ish story, or it's completely off the wall, bonkers bizarre, ridiculous amount of fan service that I can't even take seriously, so it's the palate cleanser to the other thing. I'm basically one end of the pendulum or the other. I don't really like a lot of series in the middle, because I wish that they would amp things up either one way or another. So I tend to focus on those guys that are really, really at the end of the pendulums. So things like Hellsing Ultimate, which I finally finished up because Funimation finally put up the OVAs for 9 and 10 on the Funimation streaming service. So I finally have completed Hellsing Ultimate.
Oh my.
Took them forever to release them because I was not about to buy them on disc.
Right.
Because I'm not buying discs anymore. So unless I can get it digitally, as far as movies go or TV shows go.
I mean, I feel like it should speak to the art if you're willing to buy things physically now.
I don't think necessarily, because then you start really getting into that weird realm of being hipster versus and a collector versus being somebody actually appreciating it. Like, there are a lot of movies that I absolutely love. I don't own them physically on DVD. That doesn't mean I only own them digitally. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate their art. I paid for that digital download. And in many cases, I paid the same price for that digital download as I would a disc. I just don't physically have storage for the amount of discs that I would have physically in my hands if I had bought physical copies versus digital copies. You know, I have over 700 movies in my iTunes library. I do not have space for 700 DVDs anywhere in my home. Okay? So
it'd
that
be
doesn't
like border status.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate any of them any less. And I paid for every single one of them. And I paid full price for whatever the digital price was at the time. None of them are things that were bootlegged. So I disagree with that argument. I think that there are some things that, when they're near and dear to you, you want them on that physical media, or they're just only available on that physical medium. You know, like, there are comedy albums that I absolutely love that I would love to have on vinyl. And that's the collector in me talking. I have them already digitally. I listen to them already digitally. And I love listening to them. That doesn't mean that I treasure them any less, the digital ones. But man, oh man, it would be nice to have some of those things on vinyl. I mostly did not want the Hellsing discs because I don't have space for them. You know, I've already filled up the one small rack that I have for DVDs, has my physical discs of games that I've kept in it. I don't have space for it. And I don't want to buy and invest good money in discs to just go into another box and be in storage. I think that that's a disservice to the mediums. You know, if you buy something, you should be able to appreciate it. And you should be able to appreciate it and use it whenever you want and not have to go to a storage locker to find it, to then take it out, to then appreciate it and put it back. That's just a bit much. So I was waiting for them to come out and have it digitally. And I was like, they're either going to make an OVA that you're going to be able to buy in like the iTunes store, which I was totally going to buy, or if they only would do it digitally in the Funimation store, then I was going to do it just digitally there. But they finally put it up on their streaming service because it took them a long time to actually get 9 and 10 done in Ultimate. Because if you're a Hellsing fan at all, the original Hellsing run was toned down very much from what the creator initially wanted to do.
Yes.
And the story that they initially told. For very good reason. It was still pretty damn violent.
Yeah.
And there were some common threads that they were able to weave in there, but it wasn't the original thing. And so they finally got greenlit because as they started talking about the original story, and I believe the mangas came out of the original story, everybody's like, why isn't Helsing this? Like, this was okay what you did, but it should have been this because this is bomb. And so they finally got it greenlit to make Helsing Ultimate, which is what they called. And so they very slowly over time, and by they I mean Funimation, released the animes on DVD, and also when they launched their digital streaming service on their site, put it up digitally. And so it was basically running at like worse than Sailor Moon Crystal. It was basically like an OVA every 1 to 4
I hate
months.
That I have to wait every first or third week for an episode of Crystal.
We'll try waiting months. I hate it. Try waiting months between them.
Nah, no thanks.
And even if you sign up for the newsletter, not getting a notification when a new one drops. So there are times where you'd be like 3 months between Helsing Ultimate updates of new episodes, and then they put one out 1 week, and then the next week they'd have another one that went. So it was really, really all over the place. And I think, you know, it especially became very erratic as you started getting up into the higher numbers, because it is only a 10-episode run on the OVA to get through the entirety of the story. And right around when they got to 8, which is when the Nazis really started popping off doing some dumb shit, and it was getting really, really violent, because, yeah, Nazis. They just stopped releasing them. And it was no joke, because I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, 2 years between when 8 dropped digitally and then 9 and 10 dropped. And I just happened to be bouncing through the Funimation service to look for a new series to watch, because I bounce between Crunchyroll and Funimation to watch various animes. And I was like, oh, look, it's Helsing Ultimate. And I don't even know why it's in the updated section, because they've only
updated it. Bitch hasn't updated nothing.
Exactly. And I went in and I was like, because they've only updated it to 8. Shit, they got 9 and 10. So it was 1 o'clock in the morning when I saw it. I was like, I don't even care. I'm watching them both. So I completed the story. I will probably run through it again to go 1 through 10, just so I can get the whole story in one sitting. Not that you forget any of the pieces, but I do like experiencing a whole story when I'm watching an anime series, if at all possible. So if I can marathon a whole season, I will. So I will definitely be running Ultimate again really soon. But Ultimate is one that I was watching, and I'm so glad that they finished it, because it was really bothering me that it was going to be, to me, a story visually that was left untold and unfinished. So it's finished. And you can find it on Funimation. I recommend that you check it out if you like bloody, vampiric, action, gory animes with Nazis that want to destroy the world. If that sounds like things that you enjoy, then you will definitely...
I enjoy it. I love Helsing. Not to mention, Crispin Freeman did his voice, and he was my sexy waifu crush back in the anime days.
Well, you need to watch Ultimate.
So, yummy. So,
that. And then the other thing, again, trying to push boundaries of things that I normally wouldn't watch, which is where I started this conversation, was on Crunchyroll, was that I was looking for something that was middle of the road. Because I do like to test myself every once in a while and see if, hey, maybe the middle of the road has gotten better now this season than it was before, so that I'm not just completely offhanding, turning down watching a series. And so I was looking at what was new on Crunchyroll, and I found a series called Gate that is part of the summer lineup. And looking at the artwork and the description, it does seem very middle of the road, because it starts out talking about this guy who is basically an otaku.
Okay.
An older guy, so he's in his, mid-late 20s. Could be early 30s, the way that they draw characters. He definitely
right.
looks like...
Right, for all you know, he's probably 50 years old.
He definitely looks like he could be a young, hip dad to someone. He's out of college for sure, things like that. And it talks about him, reluctantly having to serve in the service because an attack happens on Japan. That's basically the way they set up Gate. And I'm like, all right, well, it's going to be slice of life with this otaku coming to terms with having to be an adult. So he's probably going to be in a regiment and he's going to have his captain yelling at him all the time, you know, kind of cop drama drive of him to grow up and things like that. And he's going to
be a man.
Exactly. And he's going to be trying to sneak in like hentai books and things like that. And he'll probably have somebody in his squad that, you know, sort of likes him, but doesn't really, that he'll take under his wing. And so I'm like, all right, so I'll give it a shot. Gate is totally not that.
Oh.
Totally not that. So, the lead character in Gate, the guy, and I'm blanking on his name right now, which makes me feel horrible, but basically, this guy is getting ready to go to a convention. There's a big anime convention going on, and he is so excited to go. As he's making his way there, a gate opens up, and pouring through it are all kinds of dragons and what appear to be orcs and goblins, and they're attacking people. And this guy was in the reserves. He'd already done his year of service and things like that. And these orcs and things are killing people. And he reluctantly is like, I can't let any of this continue to go on. I got to help people. And cops are trying to rally stuff. And so he just goes into kick-ass mode because he's actually a fairly decent officer. He just happens to be an otaku. And starts killing orcs and organizing and getting people in different areas. And the cops are like, who the hell are you? And he's like, don't worry, I was in the military. I don't really like to talk about it, but, like, we need to get these people out of there. It's first priority. And they're like, no, we're not going to take orders from some civilian. And he's like, not really a civilian, but I don't want to tell you that. Just trust me, like, we should do this and not do this because people are going to get hurt. And then they get a call from higher-ups that basically reiterate what he said. And the cops are like, all right, you know your stuff. Let's do this. So he's able to help save a chunk of people. And, again, because they're orcs and goblins and dragons, they don't really fare very well against modern technology. Like
guns!
Yeah, and bombs. So that entire force gets defeated. But Japan has learned how to reverse engineer the gate technology. So they, in accordance with a couple of other countries, decide that they're going to travel back through the gate to basically find out what these shit starters are trying to start this shit about and nip it in the bud. So they create basically the Japanese self-defense force. And because this guy saved so many lives and received a medal and was, like, all over the press for saving so many people, they decide that he's going to head up one of the units going back through the gate. And so he's all disappointed because he's like, if only I'd gone actually to the goddamn convention, none of this would have happened. And I wouldn't have to travel to some far-off land through some freaking gate that I don't know about where there won't be any manga or whatever and have all this responsibility. Damn it. But he ends up going. And so the land is very medieval. Like I said, okay. They've got dragons. And
there'd be dragons here.
They've got kingdoms. And there's one ruler in one land, a lord, who is power hungry. And since so many of his men died while trying to invade the other realm, he decides, ooh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to the other lords nearby me that could challenge my empire and say that I need help wiping these guys out. And they'll get wiped out by this force. Then I don't have to worry about them. And I'll have all the land and the power to myself. Not thinking, hey, what happens, dipshit, when the guys try to march on your city?
Right.
After they've wiped out everybody around you. Because for some reason he thinks that he'll be able to defeat them or that people will get tired and just go back to their own realm. And at one point he's like, actually, no, what we'll do is we'll poison all the wells and stuff in the city surrounding us so that as these guys come through and drink our water and stuff, they'll get sick and die.
What
and
then about, we'll straight. Oh, I don't know, our people who live here?
Yeah, fuck them too. So, like I said, really, really horrible, horrible lord. And so the dichotomy is that this guy ends up heading a unit that goes out into the land to basically learn about the people, try to learn their language, figure out their politics and their diplomacy so they can find a way to hopefully not have to scorch the earth of these people and try to create some kind of treaty and accord with them. But if they get attacked, they're going to attack back. And ultimately, there's an attack on a small inhabitant, basically an inhabitant. There's like 30 houses in it, and it got destroyed by a dragon. And only one person survived, who's an elf, which is right on this guy's radar. She's like, oh, there are elves here. Maybe there are cat girls here. So maybe things aren't so bad. So he does still have his otaku moments. But ultimately, he is a very sweet person. Like, he's constantly talking about and defending himself as being a humane person. Because there's a girl that's in his unit who's like, I have suspicions about you because I think you're a perv. But as he starts doing things where he's obviously being very thoughtful about everybody around him, trying to keep everyone safe, take care of them. He ultimately takes in this whole town that has to run from this dragon so that they don't get scorched and die and, you know, be eaten by it. And he convinces his higher-ups that it was the right thing to do and to basically build a refugee camp for them so that they could stay on base. So it is very, very much not a middle-of-the-road anime.
Oh, well, that's good.
Not very dark, and it's not very light. It is very much a middle-of-the-roader that's not like any middle-of-the-roader that I've watched before. So I'm very interested in Gate. There are, I think, either three or four. I think they just popped episode 4 up on Crunchyroll right now. So if you want to get into something new, Gate is definitely something that I would recommend. It's got a nice balance of quirk with action and also a little bit of depth because of all the political stuff at play that's in it, both between the present day government regimes and the parallel to the medieval, basically feudal regimes. It's interesting and it's funny and not funny at the same time. So Gate, definitely one to check out.
Okay. I will have to check that. That sounds like something I could really get into.
You know what else you can get into?
Us.
Yeah, that's right. Our podcasts, our websites, so much stuff going on in the land of Esh. So make sure that if you like what you're hearing, that you subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, in Stitcher Radio, also on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can check out all of the things that we're writing about, reviews, previews, editorial pieces, and more at that same website, that website again, electricsisterhood.com. You can also check out egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. We are a partner provider, so we create a bunch of content over there for the team, and they're really great pieces, so you can subscribe and make sure that you get notification whenever we post anything there. You can grab our podcast. New episodes typically go out on Monday, followed on Tuesday by a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homeboy KBD. If you are into anything indie, whether that's music, J-pop, K-pop, rock, all that stuff, manga, TV, theater, then definitely check out No Borders, No Race, because everything is on the table to be talked about from every place. So check that out over at b3crew.com. On Wednesdays, if you need beats for your feet, then you definitely want to hit up geekagro.com to find some great new trap, EDM, house, deep house, trance, like all kinds of mixes put together by our homeboy Deuces Wild. So make sure that you check that out. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues
together,
the Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live to vent about all kinds of stuff, especially the recap shows, because man oh man, more and more recap is happening over there. As a matter of fact, probably even a name change coming soon. But if you're into any really good shows that are running around on TV right now, or on the digital, because Netflix is making some amazing shit, guys. Not traditional TV is kind of becoming better than traditional TV. But if you're into Game of Thrones, if you're into Walking Dead, if you're into the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, if you're into recap shows, then you need to be into the Issues Guy at issuesprogram.com. And launched and live now, the Structure Network. The grid is live. Check it out, thestructurenetwork.com. All kinds of stuff going on over there. Movie reviews, comic reviews, video game stuff, wrestling, unboxings, I'm talking loot crates. It's crazy the amount of stuff. Live Twitch broadcast plays of all kinds of games. Crazy streaming. They just wrapped a event for Operation Supply Drop where they went 48 hours straight gaming on Twitch. I'm telling you, so awesome. Make sure that you check out thestructurenetwork.com. We are so proud to have them be part of our family. So with that, it's a time in the podcast where I turn to my sister and say, "Hey, yo, sis.
Yes?
What shit you digging this week?
Journey.
Yeah.
Journey and Journey.
I feel you on that, as a matter of fact.
What are you digging this
journey.
Week? Journey. Of course you are.
It's just a journey digging week. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.